Tim Fleming in the morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO. It's time for our corporate farmer program, and that means we go to the guy in charge. We bring in Chad Hansen. Hey, Chad, how are you?
How's it going today, Tim?
Whoo-wee, we're getting ready for wintertime,
yeah.
I think.
I know. My closet's kind of confused. It seems like I'm just changing jackets by the day, so it's wondering... what's going on? I believe you go from light to heavy to back to no jacket, back to light to heavy, and it's just been crazy last few weeks for sure.
Oh, it has been, and that's really, that's October and November weather in Iowa and in the Midwest in general, and I guess we got to have to kind of expect a little bit of that, but boy, I just, you know, all of the talk and conversation has been certainly around the weather, but yet I know some of the farmers that I've talked to, they have just been thrilled with what they've been able to accomplish this fall. It's been something.
Yeah, been wonderful for them, and you know, obviously several that have gotten finished up in the fields here in the last week or so, and you know, a few friends that I saw, you know, kind of talking about getting maybe finished up today. So I think everybody's been kind of eyeing that rain and thinking if we can make a good push at it here, we can get what we need to knocked out. Still probably some people that would like to be doing a little bit more fall tillage and stuff, but for the most part, they're at a happy place where at least they can sleep at night and not worry that they've got, you know, a lot of stuff left in the fields. So that's a good sign for sure.
Yeah, some big numbers have been harvested with all of the crops, corn and beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get those nice kind of runs where the weather just cooperates, and it's amazing what can get done. I mean, just myself over the weekend on my yard alone, it seemed like my wife definitely wanted to take full advantage of that nice warm weather. So we got a lot of raking and mowing and cleaning up done, and so... yeah, so even had some neighbors putting up some Christmas lights, so it's everybody trying to take advantage of the nice, sunny, warm days for sure.
Yeah, there's nothing like a sunny, warm day followed by the college football games you want to watch being at night, and it meant everybody was working on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure, and like you said, you know, not having to worry about that game until later at night, that way you're about wore out, and all you want to do is sit on the couch and relax and watch a game. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, here we are. We're charging through November, and I know, man alive, the end of the year is definitely within sight, Chad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know one thing that we've talked about seems like forever now that is becoming kind of a broken record is this whole, you know, tax situation with this Build Back Better Act that seems like it kind of zigs and zags by the week, you know, and it's kind of played havoc with, you know, a lot of people that have been trying to plan estates or their income taxes and wondering, you know, what the impact is going to be for next year. So it's been an important, you know, legislation from that standpoint as, you know, concerns, I'd say, across the board that it's going to lead to higher taxes, and maybe 2021's the time to kind of, I guess, bite the bullet, if you want to call it that, and, you know, maybe take a little bit more income than you generally would from a farming standpoint. Obviously, that's an easy thing to do with the opportunity to, you know, sell some grain before the end of the year, and we've been fortunate to have really solid prices right now. In fact, it's almost crazy to see the bids on some days as the prices climb a little bit. Must be a big need out there for grain. And so you know, people kind of wondering if they should take advantage of those higher prices and not pay storage on putting it in the bin for, you know, a few months or whatever, since there hasn't been some real good opportunities to forward sell some of that stuff for not much premium, I guess, priced into the market. And, you know, maybe delaying some expenses that normally would be paid before the end of the year, kind of another, you know, tax planning technique that would allow to show a little bit higher income here in 2021. But, you know, as the kind of pendulum swings and we come back the other direction, it looks like Congress is really having difficulty getting on the same page. And I think, you know, last week we talked a little bit about what was going on with the elections, and we saw what happened in Virginia and, you know, how close the governor's race was in New Jersey. And I think that there's some continued concern for the Democrats that, you know, there's not a lot of margin for error for them to kind of hold their seats next year in November. And so, you know, with that, they probably don't want to irritate too many voters just because, you know, a few percentage points one way or the other could, you know, be the margin of loss or victory. And so what we've seen is, you know, them kind of, I guess, pull away from some of the proposals that we talked about. And, you know, a lot of farmers and business people and even just regular taxpayers had some concerns about the fact that they might see higher taxes here as, you know, the Democrats try and figure out a way to pay for some of this infrastructure bill. The second part of it, they're still trying to kind of get worked through. And so, you know, the latest on that, I guess, is a little recap, is it looks like right now they're kind of talking about a few things that might impact a few people that are listening, but not probably a lot. One is raising the state and local tax deduction that you can take on your itemized deductions that had been kind of lowered to $10,000 under some of the Trump tax plans here that were passed a few years ago, and that was kind of, I guess, thumbing, you know, some of these higher taxed states like New York and California, and, you know, they weren't too happy about that, so they've wanted to kind of get that repealed. And so it looks like a compromise there they've come up with is, you know, increasing that limit of $10,000 up to $72,500 and making that kind of more permanent, at least extending it out to 2031, so 10 years, you know, at this point in time. And, you know, the other things are really just the investment income tax, 3.8% on income over $400,000 for everybody. Might be something that would come into play for some farmers that have some self-rental situations going, either renting to their S corporation or another LLC or something that they have in place, where that could kick in, but not probably going to affect a lot of you know, listeners or people in our area. And the other things really are on, you know, the losses, carryover losses, and limited those to $500,000 adjusted for inflation and some of the kind of surtaxes. So what we've seen is a shift away from things that are going to affect a lot of people to things that really are geared towards getting the funds they want out of very few, those kind of millionaire, billionaire type tax items that, you know, going to pay for the programs, but, you know, whether they agree with them or not, that's probably not enough people that in general that they're affecting that are going to affect elections. So that's kind of where we stand with that at the time being.
So you're saying that politics can play into some of this stuff?
It definitely does, for sure. You know, I think, you know, we've got a few senators that really are the swing vote when it comes down to it, and they've shown just how powerful one or two people can be in the shaping of legislation. And I know, you know, there's some frustrated people, especially on the more progressive side of the Democratic Party that feel like they're caving to maybe just one or two people. But when your margin is basically zero there in the Senate, that's what's going to happen. And quite honestly, if they lose any seats going forward, it's really going to have a major impact on whether anything gets done at that point in time. Because, you know, if we see, you know, the Senate go back to the Republicans and continue with this current administration, I don't see very many issues where they're going to get on the same page. So we're probably going to see a stalemate at that point in time until we get to 2024, you know, the next presidential election. So, you know, I guess the big thing, big takeaway for people that are like, why are you talking so much about this, is you know, the concern that most of my clients have had has been increases in some of those top rates, capital gains rates going up, corporate income tax rate increases. It looks like all those things are kind of off the table. Another thing for businesses was the Section 199A deduction, which, you know, effectively allows them to reduce their business income by 20%, so really only paying tax on 80% of their business income in most instances. You know, a huge thing for our farmers is the lifetime estate and gift tax exemption. Big worries that that was going to drop from, you know, it's scheduled to go up to in 2022 to a little over $12 million. And, you know, one of the proposals was bringing that back down to $5 million. So, you know, with the value of land and we've seen prices just go crazy lately for farmland in north central Iowa, you know, it didn't take very many acres for that to start becoming a concern. And so, you know, pulling that off the table, I think, has kind of calmed a lot of nerves. You know, and then it looks like the 1031 exchanges where we sell land and, you know, reinvest that into maybe other replacement property, some kind of like-kind exchange there, those things look like they're safe for the time being as well. So most of those big items that I was getting calls on daily, wondering, you know, what was going to happen there. Fortunately, it looks like cooler minds have kind of prevailed in this case, which is refreshing, I guess, and makes it a little bit easier as we, like you say, kind of get into the home stretch of 2021.
And again, what you just touched on basically is one of the things that I think is the most important part about being involved with Corporate Farmer is that client of yours can pick up the phone and touch base with you and say, mm-hmm. What do you think, Chad? Or what do you think to one of your staff members? It's like, this, where are we at? And how, help me, guide me through mm-hmm. some of this. And that's important stuff.
Yeah, I think whether it's the communication that we do on the phone or in our face-to-face meetings, you know, those are important. But we've also kind of created, you know, an avenue, whether it's through Facebook or it's through, you know, newsletters, which, you know, we've kind of gone to a format where we email kind of some updates out to a list of individual clients that are interested in and getting those. It's a way to kind of keep everybody updated on what's going on. And, you know, we've kind of fine-tuned those here in this last year during the whole pandemic, is that's become a better avenue, I guess, to get that information out to people in a more timely manner. And, you know, we've really had good response from it. So, you know, I think, again, you know, you always kind of ask that question, is how are we different? And, you know, why would somebody want to work with us? And I think that that's probably the key to it, is just getting that timely information, getting the stuff that matters, not all the other junk. And then, you know, utilizing all of that to help kind of shape, you know, the game plan that we always talk about, and help you do what's right for your farm and your operation to make it as successful as possible.
Yeah, basically, what's best for you, and, mm-hmm. And whether that's in communication or planning or what have you, what's best for you, and that's mm-hmm. What does that that sound important in these mm-hmm. days?
Yeah, I mean, it's that one-on-one, that you know, kind of catering and kind of shaping things in a way that affects you and your situation, and not kind of just applying some kind of cookie cutter or forcing you in a direction to a product just because that's what we sell. And that's not the way we want to do things. And so, you know, it has worked well, and it's, you know, great to have those kind of relationships where people rely, you know, on your expertise and guidance to kind of help them, you know, each and every day.
So what are you telling your clients right now as they do come down toward the end of the year? Is there anything specifically that they can do to just start their planning for the end of the year, paperwork, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, that can be in line or mm-hmm. in line?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the number one thing is always organization. We want to have them organized, and whether that means keeping their books up to date or being prepared for different various deadlines, those are all things that, again, we, you know, continue to remind them of. But, you know, again, I think that it's more of communicating to them their options, right? I mean, we look at whether it's tax planning, you know, kind of where are you at now? Where are the brackets at? What are some things that we may want to be concerned about when I talk about some of this, like net investment income tax, you know, some of the different levels that would kick in when it comes to some of those various kind of tax add-ons or putting you in a higher capital gains bracket. Maybe it's losing out on some of this additional child tax credit now that's available, looking at FAFSA and college kids that are going to be applying for aid, and where do we want to target as far as an income level. You know, the thing that's been in play for several years for a lot of our clients is marketplace insurance policies, and, you know, making sure that income is similar to what was turned in as an expectation at the beginning of the year, so that you don't find yourself having to pay back some of those insurance credits that you've been getting on a monthly basis throughout the year. You know, earned income tax credit. There's just various different kind of things, and I mean, we get lost in that maze of you know, all the things that come into play that can jump up and bite you that you're not prepared for. And so that's where you need somebody that has all of that experience and knowledge to be able to kind of know what things might affect you and what you need to kind of avoid. Because, you know, so many of the people that before they come to us, I mean, they've kind of just gone by the approach of, you know, it seems like I'm in a similar place to last year. I got about as much money in my account as I did last year. I'm carrying forward a similar amount of grain or some kind of, you know, thermometer that they kind of use to kind of determine whether they're in a similar position or not. And I've seen so many of them just kind of get themselves caught in a predicament and end up owing a lot of taxes that they weren't prepared for. And usually that is kind of the, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back that causes them to kind of get serious about coming in and talking to us. They probably heard about us on the radio or maybe seeing some of our ads and know, hey, maybe that's something that I should consider at some point in time. But when you get stuck, you know, paying an extra $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 in income taxes, you know, you kind of say enough's enough. I need to do something different and be more organized. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, I sit here with couples and, you know, maybe the husband's complaining that, you know, they haven't got their bookkeeping done, and here it is, you know, early November, and they got a whole lot of time to do anything about it, and we're going to change, and the wife's like, well, you know, I've always done this, and he just blames me, and they kind of go back and forth all around in circles, and, you know, for many of them, it takes a good year before they make that commitment, but once they decide that they're going to come with us, and they, you know, get a little bit more concerned about doing things in a timely manner, it's just amazing to see the relief that next time, next year, when they come into the office and we sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and we've already got a game plan in place, what they're going to do before the end of the year. And, often one of them that have been pushing for it is like, see, we should have done this 25 years ago. And, that's when it's rewarding for us, I guess, is to see how, the way we do things works and how much pressure and stress it takes off of people that choose to commit to the service.
Speaking of service, a lot of our farmers are veterans, and a big salute to them this week, too, Veterans Day on Thursday, and I know they're proud to fly that American flag out on the farm, too.
Yeah, it's always awesome, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to think about those things and, really give a nice pat on the back to those people that took care of us and stood on the front lines for us and sacrificed so much, and so... this is always kind of a good time, I think, to reflect and just recognize some people that probably for some, made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
Chad, always great to talk to you. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to our visit again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Chad. It's Chad Hansen, everybody, president at Corporate Farmer on AM 1300. KGLO Mason City.